with risk. What the manual tells you is, after choosing your pace lines, to look and see which one of your pace line selections represent a majority in the same distance, either 6 furlongs or 6.5, whatever the case may be. Those are your setup times.
Without taking off any lines behind?
Without taking anything else. That, those are your setup times. Case closed. Unless you're now, this is on the future, but I mean, if you cannot do the mashup and do it well, in other words, if you cannot project on your own and write it down to be within a fifth of a second, the second call, which you project is going to be the second call of the day, and the final time that you project to be the final time of today's race, if you can't be accurate within a fifth of a second, then you don't do that for your setup times. You use the times in the pace lines. If you can be consistently within a fifth of a second, plus or minus, either way, on the second call and the final time, when you do the mashup, then you can use that for a setup time. But what are those setup times supposed to do? Project the times of the second call and the final time of today's race. That's what a setup time is supposed to do. Okay? You don't have to go through the exercise of putting in the pace lines if you can do it without putting in the pace lines. Problem? But if you can't do that, then you just put them in straight out of the pace. There's no beaten length in the setup times. It doesn't ask you for beaten length, does it?
No.
No. It's an example.
An example of setup times?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, then I'll give you an example. You got 5 pace lines to choose from. Mm-hmm. All right, you've narrowed it down to 5 contenders. 3 of them have 6 furlong pace lines. 1 has a 6.5, and the other one has a 7 furlong pace line. You tell me what distance you're going to tell the computer to do that.
Oh, 6.
6. Why?
Well, it's the most common.
It's the majority of distances, right? Okay. Now, you've chosen 6 furlongs as a distance for your setup time. And it asks you first for the second call and the final time. What are you going to put in there when it asks you for the second call and final time?
Put it in this average one, right?
No. Wrong.
Put in
all 3.
All 3?
You chose 3 6 for on baseline. You put in the second call and final time for each one of those baseline. And then it says, another? No. That's it, you're done. Even if the race is 7, the actual distance of today's race is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with your setup times. Your setup times only relates to the majority of like distances in your pace line. And that is very clearly stated in the manual. I know that because I wrote it. Even if I was wrong, I would admit it. So do you understand how to
Yeah, I never used over 2, and I kind of like used averages for those.
No, don't use averages. Why would you average? What are you averaging for? First of all, you don't know what the program is doing. Remember, this is an automatic program. This was the first step towards energy, towards the automation process of adjustments, where you, as the user, don't have to make decisions about adjustments. It's done by the program. When you put in that first, assume 45 and 110 as your first setup time, the first thing the computer does is adjust the second call and the final time by a variant. Do you know what is adjusting it? Fine. Any idea?
Well,
you're not supposed to know.
Whatever you put in there.
It's in code, in the program. Each time you put in a setup time, that setup time is adjusted by the computer. And then you put in another one, and that one is adjusted. And then you put in the third one, and that one is adjusted. Now you have 3 adjusted times. And you tell the computer, okay, that's it, I quit, I give up, I don't want any more times in here. Then it averages those 3 adjusted times that you put in there. They're not raw times. They've already been adjusted, and they're averaged to come up with today's pace of the race. So now the computer knows how to adjust the work that's coming from a different distance, 6.5 or seven, or from a different track, or a different service. Okay? Any questions on the setup times? Yes?
What is the minimum number of setup times you should use?
One. That's the minimum that you can put in is one.
I know, that would be if you projected the base.
No, that would also be a situation. Let's suppose that you had five contenders. You're at Exalvin on opening week. And you've got a horse from Churchill Downs, one from the Meadowlands, one from Belmont, one from Hialeah or a Calder, and one from Santa Anita. None of them are from the same track. You got to pick one. At that point, you're really shooting in the dark. That's not a race I'd be real happy about playing. But if you insisted on playing a race like that, you can only use one baseline because you've only got one horse from one track. They're all from different distances. So the minimum that you can put in is either, like you say, your projected time or whichever track you chose to run on.
I've been having trouble,
but
I've been trying to use projected time, and I didn't know you had to be in the
full track. You know what? I bet you're right. That's true. You really should. The object of the game is, the purpose of putting in setup times in the synergies of program is to establish within as close as possible today's pace of the race. And if you're not real accurate in doing it on projected times, and you have horses that need to be adjusted, let's say that you put in a setup time based on your projection, you think they're going to run 45 and 110 today, when in reality they're really going to run about 46 and 1 and 111 and 3. Any horse that's going to be adjusted is going to be adjusted to a 45-110 pace, and you're going to look like a world beater. You know, if he can run at those times, he's going to be adjusted at those times, he's going to look really sharp against those other horses. And he may not be able to run anywhere near there.
Could you explain that just a little bit? Go over that one more time.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
If you put in a projected pace of 45 and 110, that's what your projected today's pace is going to be. In other words, you're projecting a fast pace. Any horse is going to be adjusted because he's coming from a different distance or a different track. You're saying he's a shipper or shipping from another surface. You are giving him a credit up to the 45 and 110. That's how you're adjusting this horse, to 45 and 110. You're going to give him a big positive adjustment. If you say this horse can run against his pace, and he really can't, but you don't know what the computer's going to do with this horse, other than he's going to bring him up to today's expected pace, minus his beam length at each of the calls. So if, let's say you're using a horse who has a wire-to-wire victory, but he's coming from a different track or a different surface, and because it's a 6.5 furlong and you put your setup time at 6, he's going to automatically be adjusted to that very fast pace, and he's going to have some very big numbers, and he's going to come out on a picket fence and runs all the way across the town, and he's not going to be able to run to it. So you've got to be careful with the setup time. You want to get it as close to reality as possible. What is today's pace going to be? Jimmy's program, the energy, Jimmy and Howard, I should say, does that work for you automatically? In synergism, this was the first step towards automation in these adjustment processes. There's still some work you have to do in synergism. You have to make some decisions. Those decisions are even taken away from you in the energy program. But in synergism, you have to be fairly accurate within a fifth of a second if you use the projected times. Everybody understand that? It's crucial because any horse who is going to be adjusted, if he has a different distance or he's shipping from another track, is going to be adjusted to those setup times. And if you've got the setup times wrong, you've got them too fast, he's going to look like a world beater against these other horses. You understand?
Yeah, but I don't go back now. The adjustment, that's going to be on after you pick contenders. Is the Set-up times won't be adjusted, will they?
The set-up times are adjusted as they're put in.
Yeah.
Each one, before they're averaged, to come up with today's expected pay for the rest.
Yeah. So shippers are going to be
adjusted to whatever that number happens to be.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful with that. That's why you want to be as accurate as possible. If you cannot project the pace of today's race, then let the computer do it for you, putting in your set of times. You can put in as many as five. As few as one, as many as five. Yes?
Just trying to get this jailed for a second. If you had two horses and out of, say, four that you were going to put in, and one of them 111 and one of them out of 113 finds time, would you include the 113?
Probably not, no. That horse is probably not a contender. Unless he came from an off track. Now, if there's a reason for the 113, and it came from a good, muddy track or what have you, and I considered this horse a contender in today's race, and I was going to use that pace line in today's race, then I would use it in the setup time. But I try and stay away from the Arabic races. That's a wide stretch. I would look either for another pace line to use in a horse if I made him a contender, or I'd look at him seriously again and say, look, we're talking about a bunch of length difference here between these horses. Is this horse really a contender? If he's not, just get him out of there. Because when you put a horse in there with that wide a variance, he's going to be adjusted. But it's not as accurate. I mean, this thing's not foolproof. You know, I did a lot of studies here. I used several thousand races to come up with these adjustments that are being made. But they're not foolproof. You know, they're averages from a bunch of races. And whenever you have that wide of a swing, the adjustment can be either overkill or underkill, depending on where you're going. So you try and stay away from those wide differences. Try and get them as close as possible. Any other questions on the setup time? Yes?
I'm having a real problem with horses coming out of sprint races into route races, where you have no route races in their path. They end up, just like you said, with the ones all the way across.
Yeah, well, they don't belong to race in the first place. If you put sprinters in and stretch them out, particularly sprinters who cannot stretch out, that's one of the problems with any of our programs. If you put in non-contenders, where we're doing an automatic adjustment, these automatic adjustments are based on your ability to pick true contenders in a race. And when you put in a non-contender in a race, you're just screwing everything up.
Use your K-Gen with synergism. You don't have that problem because K-Gen uses a multiplier and does not always get the sprinters on top.
Use the matchup, the little trick in the matchup menu. It's real. I don't have the thing here. I can't remember exactly how it's done. It's been a while since I've done it. But there's a little formula you can use to just quickly test a sprinter stretching out to determine whether or not you're going to be a contender. And 95% of them are non-contenders, sprinters going into routes if they haven't routed before, and if they have not routed well. And I understand what I'm saying. 95, maybe higher, a sprinter stretching out. They're non-contenders. They don't do not belong. It's rare when you have a sprinter entering a route that's going to be a contender. Rarely do I put one in.
Well, that formula he's talking about is in your K-Gen. Use your K-Gen to qualify the horses and put them in synergism.
K-Gen
has that multiplier formula.
And you get the multiplier that in the matchup manual is already built into the K-Gen program. So put your sprinter in the K-Gen. If he doesn't give up the K-Gen, then don't put him in.
We use that thing that Dick had in the follow-up, that formula.
The multiplier?
Tom Hamilton did.
Okay.
Yeah. And that works out pretty good.
Fine. And you're going to find very few.
What about the multiplier?
Or you can reduce slower, you throw them out. You know, 5% of the time, maybe, you're going to be putting a sprinter in. Most of the time, they're not going in. Yes?
Is it more optimal to take the, you got a rough horse going into a sprint, take the inner
numbers or just put the route in as it's in the form?
You talking about percentages in there?
Yeah.
If you put a route or drop it back into a sprint, it automatically takes the internal, the 6-4-0 and over. You put in the race just the way that it is, but it automatically takes the 6-4-0 and over. You don't have to worry about it. It's already automatically done for you.
Okay, question.
Yeah. If you've decided you want to use 6-4-0 internal fractions of a route, just enter the route exactly as you see it in the form. Does that make any allowances? It automatically takes care of it for you. You don't have to make any decisions about taking 2 fifths off here or whatever, or splitting the beam length. It all does it automatically. Any other questions? Yes?
There's no problem with the router going back down to the sprint.
No, that was his question. If you have a router that you've decided you want to use dropping back into a sprint, enter the entire route line just as it appears in the form, and everything else is automatic.
Is that true for energy too?
No!
No. different ball game. Different program altogether. Remember, synergism is still based on a phase 3 methodology. It's a velocity, it's a different price. Energy is a completely different concept. There are some energy factors or adjustments of the way we approach it. Making the automatic adjustments in synergism, incorporated in synergism, but they are not the formulas that are used in the energy program. They're just a different world.
Yeah, that's pretty good generic question, because save some of your specifics for tomorrow. Now that you've heard these questions, and let them generate some specifics for tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
They use me at all, or they're going to put me on the favorite spot, which is last. Some of you looked querulous when we answered your questions. The Cajun, I developed years and years ago, and it's been attributed now to 5 or 6 people other than myself. That's what you get when you're the editor of a magazine. You can make it look like you thought of everything. That's where it came out. You and Hamilton invented the multiplier. I'm offended.
I specifically used your name 9 times in that article.
But nobody remembers it. They just remember Dick Smith, Tom Hamilton.
It was used generically.
Now, the multiplier took care of that problem, and it takes care of it in most of the tracks in the country, the multiplier we had in the follow-up. I determined that years and years ago because sprinters were always winning if you put them in routes, and I said, no, they don't do that. So we found a multiplier. It is common. You multiply the first fraction and the second fraction at the call and third fraction in a sprint by a deviation, and it tells you what to multiply by at the tracks where it worked. Not every track is the same. Your 5/8 mile had a little different multiplier than your mile tracks. But Jimmy and I got together here very recently before we did the final version of the KGN, and we found a universal multiplier. And it's a universal multiplier based on the energy of the horses in the race, and it works magnificently. So when you use your KGN in with synergism or phase 3 or whatever, or ultraskin, you merely enter the sprinter as a sprinter, put him in the race, and you'll find, lo and behold, he no longer comes out on top. He comes out where he deserves to be. You can justify yourself by knowing that if he comes out near the top on your kinetic generator, he will be a sprinter who can route. So that's done for you. And that was a final step, and it was a difficult one. And I called Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, let's try a variety of multipliers. And we thought about it, and we found out that by using the energy, the dream race energy, making a multiplier from dream race energy was perfect. And it almost is. It's amazing. Before we bring on Dick, I want to go over something that was alluded to, but is never quite... How many of you are very familiar with the uses of the pluses, the O's, and the plus and minus O's?
Anybody who's not totally familiar? I'll very briefly. And I notice that people who are not totally familiar, to pardon the expression, are not follow-up subscribers. Not enough.
There will be
after tomorrow. I beg your pardon? No, there will be, I know. Either they'll never get to Vegas. You're a strong man. Put it out where it's...
Put it back where it was.
Somewhere in the line. Very briefly to refresh you, because there is one that I don't think you know about that's considered a cluster at all. Here's how you tell whether a horse can do this or do that, whether it belongs in today's race, or which pace line is the most obvious to use over and above the fact you have on, will have on your kinetic generator and you currently have on your energy generator. Many people have done this. It's not something new with us. Merely, we just define it more clearly as what we mean. A Scott, everybody who's ever written a decent book, tells you that, you know, the horse has a good race or a bad race. But they don't go that little delineation, good within a bad. A plus race is when a horse was first, second, or third, or fourth within, let's say, 3 lengths. You might want to draw a designation that your track within 3 lengths doesn't mean a darn thing. Got to be within 2, so be my guest. Can't use lengths, but you can use pretty much if it's in the ballpark. He finishes the race in the ballpark. It's a plus race. Now, if he has a real good early fractions, first and second fractions are right up there. First, second, and third are real close up. But he dies at the end. What is that? It's plus within an O. He ran a portion of that race as a plus race and the rest was a bad race. By contrary standards, if he ran very poorly at the beginning, was beaten 8 or 9 lengths, 7 lengths, and suddenly comes on the stretch in the final and makes a big move, then you'll have to decide for yourself what's the big move. Is it 5 lengths? Is it 4 lengths? Is it 6? You know, let's not make rules on this, because anytime you make a length rule or a position call rule, you're going to get horsed on your own petard because there'll be exceptions. Generally speaking, a plus within an O is when a horse runs a portion of the race as well as the winners do, or the top horses. But he is bad late or he's bad early. Now we've added one very important, and especially in light of the K